Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, November 27th, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Well, Mercury went direct yesterday, and aren't we glad about that? And a very special happy birthday to Richard. We are delighted to have James Gilliland of eSETI Ranch return to our show. eSETI, spelled E-C-E-T-I, stands for Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and that's what goes on at his place. Located near Trout Lake, Washington, his ranch is a vortex of energy that attracts over 3,000 sightings of UFOs each year and has been there for over 10 years. Unlike the Billy Meyer contacts, James welcomes people to share the experience since his ranch is one of the hottest spots on the planet for ET contact. His website is eseti.org. And again, that's spelled ECETI.org, where you can see it for yourself. James has appeared on many high-profile shows such as Coast to Coast, the History Channel, ABC, and Fox News, and written for major publications like UFO Magazine. James also has his own radio show on bbsradio.com called As You Wish, and it's on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. It's always a pleasure to have a guest as fascinating and genuine as James. At the top of the show, we'll have our Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseed and sharing emails from our listeners around the world. We'd like to thank Chris for hosting our switchboard this evening, and we invite you to call in with questions or comments for James tonight, and the number to dial is 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. And if you like the show, please remember to click follow on our show page. You'll get our show notices, plus it will help promote our show and our guests. And then remember to tell a few friends about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation, and we also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. We'd like to thank Rose, Anastasia, and Sahar for their continuing great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. And we'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart, and the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. And if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow at least 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you get it in time. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Hey, ladies, how you doing?
Lavendar here, and I'm really anxious to hear the news, Anastasia. I know you have some good things to tell us, because we have so much going on the planet. So take it away, Anastasia.
Hang on a second, Anastasia. Your mic went off. Hang on. I thought Mercury went direct. Okay, right.
There, am I in the clear now?
All right, we got it going on now.
Great. Well, it's great to be up with everybody. I hope everybody had a great holiday week. And we're starting a new week here with Mercury gone direct. I know that it's going to clear out, Ariel. It'll get better. And we're all happy. Everybody's rejoicing. But I want to start the news by thanking a listener, Ashley, bless her heart, for sending me a lead to a story that we're going to cover tonight about some UFO sightings over Indiana. So thank you so much, Ashley. I did not know about that, and now we're going to share your news with all of our Starseed listeners, but we're going to get to that in a little bit. A lot of the news coverage tonight is about space, things that are going on in space, things that they're finding out in space. And so I want to start out by talking about tomorrow morning at dawn. If you will look southeast at dawn, you will find Venus and Saturn less than 2 degrees apart in the constellation Virgo. That's going to be a beautiful sight because Venus happens to be very, very bright right now, even though Saturn is much less so. A small telescope, if you have one, will show the rings of Saturn and the gibbous phase of Venus. So any of you stargazers out there, this is a good morning coming up to go out and take a look at that. It's beautiful. Now, we've had some more fireball sightings this last week. In fact, one that was called As Bright as the Moon was seen across California and Nevada on the 24th of November. Now, the towns of Chico, Folsom, and Reno, Nevada, all towns that I'm very familiar with, had very major sightings. They said that there were a lot of sparks and that it almost looked like the moon falling out of the sky. Very bright, bright meteor. Also in Queensland, Australia, there was a large red-green fireball that occurred on the night of November 21st that they said turned night into day. So two more of those going on, and I'm sure many more that I didn't catch this last week. Now, there was a viewer on YouTube that captured some strange sky sounds with her cell phone in Lubbock, Texas, just a couple of days ago. And when you listen to that, pretty strange sounds. Now, I want to indicate that there is a researcher out there by the name of John Lash who claims that the Earth is actually signaling the galactic core. He believes that that the sounds being generated from the sky are harmonics that the Earth is using to align herself to the galactic core. That's a very interesting theory, and I just wanted to pass that along to you. Fascinating stuff. Well, there was another earthquake in New Jersey, of all things. And it was a big, loud boom that rocked homes in Camden County. There were no injuries. It was a small one. It was only a 2.1, but it was centered near Clementon, New Jersey, and it happened about, well, just a little bit after midnight. So that was last Friday. So that's unusual that the Northeast is getting those. I don't know if we can attribute those to fracking, gas fracking, or if there's something else going on with the fault lines that's unrelated to fracking. But it has been substantiated that fracking does create earthquakes.
I got to tell you, I don't know what fracking is.
Well, that's where they drill below the way deep into the ground to extract gas. It's sort of a, I call it a junk way to get resources. It contaminates the water, the soil, nasty things. So look it up. Google it, fracking.
Okay. Yeah.
Really a problem that's going on in the planet right now, particularly on the eastern seaboard. The state of West Virginia is a beautiful state, and they're really devastating it with fracking. And other areas across the country are they doing that. Up north in Alaska, in the northern latitudes, something everybody needs to know about and be aware of. Really a problem with serious contamination of groundwater, as well as causing fault disturbances. So anyway, having said that, we just need to keep our eye on the eastern seaboard. They're having some activity up there. And I'm sure you all have probably heard this, but I had to bring it up because it broke the news after last week's broadcast. And I thought, darn, I should have gotten that on the show. So we're a little bit behind the curve here. You've probably all heard about Mars. That Curiosity rover has apparently made a big discovery. Now, they're not saying what it is, but NASA's Mars rover has apparently found something that they say is for the history books. Now, they're going to make us wait a few weeks before they tell us what this find on the red planet would be. But the discovery was made by SAM. Now, that's the rover's onboard chemistry lab. And since that little laboratory is capable of detecting organic compounds, there's speculation that they may have found life on Mars. So we'll have to wait to see, which gripes me just a little bit because they're doing this with American taxpayer dollars, and I really don't like the way they always make us wait. But that's about who's in control and who's in charge. So I just had to, throw that out there. Okay, and also on the front of, this is fascinating stuff, you guys. You know, there has been a tremendous, huge, enormous, inestimable amount of money that has disappeared from the accounting books of the government. I mean, all across the board, money's just disappeared. Even gold has disappeared. There's a lot of unexplained slush fund that has just disappeared, and some people are speculating that perhaps this is being used for black ops space exploration and more, all connected with space. Well, this story is associated with this on a little as a sideline, because a billionaire founder of a company called SpaceX plans to develop a Mars colony. Now, his name is Elon Musk, and he is the billionaire founder and CEO of a private space flight company called SpaceX. And he wants to establish a Mars colony of up to 80,000 people by ferrying explorers to the Red Planet for perhaps, oh, I don't know, maybe $500,000 a trip. Now, in his vision, he sees the Mars settlement program would start with a pioneering group of fewer than 10 people who would journey to the Red Planet aboard this huge reusable rocket powered by liquid oxygen and methane. And he says, at Mars, you can start a self-sustaining civilization and grow it into something really big. And he said this to an audience at the Royal Aeronautical Society in London back in November 16th, about a week or so ago. And he was there to talk about his business plans for this project, and he incidentally received the Society's gold medal for his contribution to the commercialization of space. I don't know about you, but the idea of commercializing space just terrifies me, not to mention insults me. But that's what they're
doing.
It
depends on who's doing it and where their levels of integrity are.
Well, yes, indeed.
Elon Musk is also the owner of, or the founder of the Tesla electric cars.
Well, that's a good thing to insert there. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I mean, he's really
fascinating stuff.
To non-fossil fuel. And, I mean, the Tesla cars, they just came out with a new one. I know, because I want one.
Well, I'm going to look that up. That sounds so cool.
So, yeah,
I
have a great feeling about him.
It's a great contribution to tonight's story. I hadn't heard of him at all. So that's worth some further investigation. I'll see what I can find out about that.
Yeah.
That's neat. Thanks for sharing that with us.
You're
cool. Well, now, tomorrow night, we're going to have a full moon lunar eclipse. And viewers will get to see the full moon darken as this is what they call a prenumbral lunar eclipse. And it's going to pass into the hazy outer edge of the Earth's shadow, which is called the penumbra. And the shadow across the moon's surface will be visible mostly in East Asia, Australia, Hawaii, and Alaska, and possibly certain parts of the western United States and Europe. So this will be seen at moonset and moonrise. Where I am, I won't get to see it, so I'm going to sulk a little bit. But that is coming up tomorrow. Now, scientists have discovered a super-duper Jupiter planet. They have spotted a planet that's 13 times more massive than Jupiter, and it's the largest, Jupiter is the largest planet in our solar system. But this planet orbits a star called Kappa Andromedae, and it's 2.5 times the mass of the Sun, and is only 170 light years away from Earth. So they just located that, and they're really thrilled with it. Now, they are finding planets all over the place. You know, when we think about the new planets that are discovered, and when I grew up, we were taught that there were 9 planets in our solar system, right? You remember that, of course.
Right, yeah.
Well, you know, maybe many of our listeners don't even realize this, but now there are 13 named planets in our solar system. And the additions that have been added are classified as dwarf planets. Now, the one called Eris is the largest dwarf planet, and it's only slightly bigger than Pluto. And a day on Eris takes 25.9 hours, and it has one moon, Dysnomia. Now, you know, I got to say, I just got to cut in here for a second and mention that when Zachariah Sitchin wrote his book, The 12th Planet, people were saying, well, everybody knows there's only 9 planets in the solar system. That's silly. Well, here you go. Now we're finding that we have 13 and counting, because they suspect that there are a great many more planets in our solar system that they haven't even located yet. They're always finding them. And the other dwarf planet is called Hyumia. And it has an elongated shape. It kind of looks like an asteroid, but it rotates very rapidly, and it's got the shortest day of all the dwarf planets in our solar system, only 3.9 hours, and it has two moons. And then, of course, there's Ceres. Maybe some of you know about that. They first thought it was an asteroid, but they reclassified it as a dwarf planet, and its day lasts only 9.1 hours. Now, Makamaki is a planet that was discovered a few years back. It doesn't have any moons, and they have suspected for a long time or hoped that it had an atmosphere. But recently, just on November 21st, they have found out that Makamaki does not have an atmosphere. So that is 13 planets in our solar system. I just wanted to let everybody know that may not have realized that. And they've also found out that Saturn, lo and behold, has a small moon that's hidden in its ring. And the Cassini imaging equipment has been analyzing images over about 600 days, and they found this tiny little moonlet. It's about a third of a mile across with a ring that's around Saturn. Now, isn't that something that we have the kind of equipment that can locate things like that?
Yeah,
so,
but the technology is getting more able to see stuff like that.
Well, it's amazing, and, you know, I wonder for all the things they tell us, what aren't they telling us? So that's something to think about. All right. And so there. Now this is the article that Ashley sent me, which is really interesting. I didn't know anything about it. But Channel 14 Indiana News had a piece about strange lights appearing in the sky over Thanksgiving, and people are wondering what in the world were they. A woman from Princeton, Indiana, sent the Channel 14 a video about what she saw on Thanksgiving night, and it was up on their website. And the woman said that she's a skeptic of UFOs, but she thought she saw something right out of a movie. So she was fast. She grabbed her camera. She videotaped them. I watched it, and by golly, that's pretty impressive stuff. She said she saw that just before 7 p.m., she saw the objects starting to rise from the horizon. They were silent. She said they all glowed and changed colors, all were about the same size, and all appeared to float in the air. She said they took the same path, and sometimes there would be two, sometimes four, and on occasion, she said, they saw 20 or 30 of them in a period of 10 minutes. And they weren't the only ones to see these objects. There were people in Kentucky and even Illinois that posted on social media sites that they saw these objects too. Now, of course, the mainstream media had to end its story with an evaluation from an expert. And this person, who was a coordinator for the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, said, the brightness, speed, path, and color, and the way they moved, would strongly indicate that these are jack-o'-lantern-type balloons. Well,
jack-o'-lantern balloons?
Yeah, that's their standard story, you know. I tell you. So that's
wait to get James's take on that one. Okay, good.
Yes, indeed. You know, they just always come up with these lame stories, and he even looked half asleep when he was talking about it. So whatever. The woman knows what she saw. She says it wasn't an airplane. She's very excited about it. A lot of the people in the community were all worked up about it, and I saw it. It ain't balloons. Okay. Well, our last story tonight is very quick and brief, but I want to tell you that they found something interesting that I think is fascinating metaphysically. We're not going to talk much about it tonight. I just want to give you the facts. But they have discovered snakes in human cells. These curious snake-like forms have been spotted in the cells of many different species across the evolutionary tree. Oxford scientists have shown that they are in human cells as well. They've discovered this. Now, this is they don't know what they are. They don't know what they do, but they named these structures cytophidia because of how they looked under the microscope, and because cytophidium is cell snake in Greek. And they have heads and tails and can move around, and they really do look like snakes. Now, they suspect that these are something to do with enzyme processing, maybe CTP, some other kinds of cellular function that, of course, they haven't defined yet. But it is a new find, and again, I find it so fascinating that we're able to peer into the macro reality, the universe, the galaxy, the solar system, and see more and more of reality, as well as look into the microsystems of microbiology, atomics. They're looking for the Higgs boson, all that. We can look smaller and smaller, and we're finding out more and more things. So each direction we look, more and more is being revealed. And what I'm excited about is when we all begin to look inside of ourselves, deeper and deeper into the science of the soul and of the spirit and of who we are, because that is the greatest mystery of all, and that is what the earth is waiting for all of us to find out what we can find in there, because that, I think, is going to be the answer to everything else that we've been talking about. So I want to thank you for having me on tonight. It's been great. Looking forward to the show. And that's it for Starseed News this week. We're going to catch you on the other side next week.
Well, thank you so much, Anastasia. Some really interesting stuff that you've come up with. And we'll keep our eyes on those topics. And we are now going to turn it over to Lavendar, and she will introduce our guest. So, Anastasia, I'll see you on the other side. And I mean the other side of the show, not the other side.
Yes, I knew what you meant.
You know what I meant. Okay.
I know what you meant. Good night.
Okay. Good night. Well, Lavendar, are you there, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here. Is James on yet?
Yes. Yes, James is with us.
Okay, good.
I'm here.
Welcome,
so,
James.
Okay. God, welcome, everyone. This
thanks.
Is James Gilliland. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show again.
Oh,
well, the
pleasure.
Other day when you sent me a little note saying, well, I think it's time for me to be back on the show again, I thought of you immediately because we had our guests that canceled because of illness, and so I'm glad that you were able to move on a dime and be our guest tonight.
It's funny how that works, the synchronicity, you know, it's something. I just go, you know, 100% on inner guidance, and something tells me to do something, and I do it, and then I find out that there's an opening or whatever. You know, it's kind of funny how that works.
Yeah, I know.
And beautiful.
Yeah, great. Tell us the latest news about anything that you want to share that's happening up at the ranch.
Oh, boy, there's so much going on here. On a real base note, you've probably followed some of it, but we've been having some serious difficulty with the county, and you know, they're doing all they can to shut us down over code violations supposedly, but they aren't really code violations because we do fit within their code, but they just have a major agenda going on.
I haven't heard anything about this. In fact, was this something that was discussed on Coast to Coast the other night?
Not with me. Somebody else might have discussed it. Who knows?
Well, they said something about the CIA coming up and taking a look at you guys up there.
Oh, they've been up there, yeah. Yeah, they've been up here. We've had everybody. We've had every alphabet agency come up to the ranch and check things out. But
so tell me what's happening with the county.
Well, we just have some real rednecks and some very religious, seems like fanatics or something, on the city council. And they've made it their agenda to close the ranch, and they're using all the agencies, you know, the code compliance agencies, the health department, everything to try to shut us down. But we've gone through 9 court cases and finally had it dismissed, you know, which had 3 judges stepping down and some prosecuting attorneys disappeared, you know, through the process. And it's been a really long, long, you know, harassing journey. And so finally we got it dismissed, and we took a breath, and we go, finally, you know, they said, in the interest of justice, we're dismissing this case, because there really is no case. It's just harassment, basically, and control issues and extreme bias. But all of a sudden we get another, on Thanksgiving Day, I got another thing where the DA is suing me for all the same things, coming back at me for all the same things, but it's for code compliance again, but this time, last time they tried to turn me into a criminal, which is illegal. You know, code violations aren't criminal offenses. And they tried to get me basically thrown in jail for a year, you know, they're saying I didn't respond or anything else, but we actually responded to everything. We had full records, and they didn't respond to anything. So it's just a pathological nightmare dealing with these people, and it's like, you know, you're living in the Stone Age. But they're starting it up again, but I really not even worried about it. It's so beyond ridiculous, it's hard to even address it. But you know, we've got a really good legal team working on the matter, and we're kind of doing it outside the box, which is working really well so far, and you know, but it has been really expensive. A lot of legal fees and expenses around dealing with these numbskulls.
My goodness, I think we probably need the Galactic Secret Service to come down and thought adjust a few of those folks.
Yeah, I'm all for that. You know, I've asked them. I say, why don't you guys beam these guys up and you know, infuse them with a little light and love and put them back down again so they can see how.
Well, you know what? That just may happen.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
At least it will shut them up for a period of time. So tell us what you think is happening with this 2012 activation. A lot of people have a lot of different theories, and so I'd like to hear yours.
You know, that's the thing. I've been looking at this for quite a long time, and I swear there must be a bazillion theories out there as to what's going to happen. And I think there's as many things that are going to happen as there are people or there is consciousness, but there are some collective events that are happening. From my understanding and research and interconnection, you know, with the other beings, the Pleiadians especially have been talking a lot about we're in the shift right now. I mean, we're in the changes. It's undeniable now. You know, even physically, the statistics are there to prove it. But they're talking a lot about some huge energy influxes coming in right around that 12-12 time, and they're already. I mean, it's already happening. We're already in the middle of it. But there is a collective effort on their part and people on the planet as well to really try to anchor these energies in and hold this higher consciousness and energy in on the planet, you know, from 12-12 on. And they said that this is going to peak on the 23rd when we come into full alignment with Galactic Plane. And they said that's going to be a really interesting scenario, you know, when that happens because of the magnetic fields that we're going to be exposed to, the fluctuations and some of the other things. And if you get into the science behind that, there's been a lot of research. Actually, Stanford did a lot of research with monkeys and exposed them to fluctuations in the magnetic fields, and they exhibited behavior from comatose to self-mutilation. So people would get really tired and then really excited, you know, and really tired and get in these highs and lows. And then I know that the Russians have been doing a lot of experiments when they have an absence of magnetic fields, people totally lose consciousness. They end up, they don't even know who they are afterwards. And you know, their base reality, their ego self just gets wiped, basically. You know, so it's kind of interesting when you look at this research that's coming up and then the information that we're getting on the higher levels, it's all kind of dovetailing together with information that they've been telling us is that we're getting a lot of assistance from the higher dimensional beings. The skies are just filled with their ships and their craft. A lot of them are phasing in so we can see them now and allowing us to know that they are here. There's so much help in the Ascended Master Realm too, angelic realms, all these kingdoms, and even the Nature Kingdom, they're all working together. The inner earth beings, they're all working together to help, you know, the lost ones, which are us, you know, to get back in sync with the rest of the universe. But it's a combination, it's a group effort along with natural cycles, you might say, that are unfolding. And they're coming together you know, basically like we have a full moon coming up and then we have, you know, the sun has just been throwing off flares like crazy. When you have a full moon, you know, combined with solar flares or coronal mass ejections hitting the earth, you know, you have a lot of change and movement and chaos. It's like semantics, you know, when a huge burst of energy comes in, it's going to create chaos until it finds equilibrium again and on the next level. And
you
we're
know,
going
right
through,
now, astrologically, Mars and Pluto are conjunct in the sky. And at the same time, we have Venus and Saturn conjunct in Scorpio. And it's like, I was telling Ariel yesterday, I said, you know, these planets are really giving me a fit, because one minute I'm sad, the next minute I'm mad. I go from sad to mad all within 10 minutes. It's
yeah.
like, what in the world's going on? So now we have the full moon, we have the solar flares, but we've got Mars and Pluto conjunct in the sky, and that is a really big war machine. So we might
mm-hmm.
be looking for assassinations with political leaders, or that the wars, you know, break out in other places, or they get worse, maybe in Israel, or world events come about sometimes every 2.5 years when Mars makes this cycle. You can
mm-hmm.
just depend on it having a flare-up of war somewhere on the planet.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, all of that energy gets accelerated by these other energies coming in. I know, I'm trying to remember her. I think it's Renton, Susan Renton. She's a physicist and was talking about the Earth being bombarded by like 500 hits a day of cosmic energies and rays coming in from different areas, where it used to be around 50 was the norm. So I think the combination of this is more of the science of what's going on. We are moving into a highly charged place in the universe, much more highly charged than it was, and we're coming into an alignment with galactic plane, and those energies are definitely going to have a major impact on this civilization, you know, and the Earth as well. So, but now if we get into the next level up in the meditations and the telepathic contacts, they've been verifying this, you know, same information, and talking about how, you know, they're almost angelic or biblical sometimes when you talk to these beings, because they keep talking about, you know, healing as first priority, releasing the past, healing, forgiving, you know, letting go, raising your consciousness, raising your frequency. And they talk about the source, you know, or God, creator, whatever you want to call it, great spirit, you know, it's a frequency and it's a force, and it's exponentially rising on, you know, throughout this whole solar system, this whole universe, that we have to align, we have to align with it, and make our own personal connection with this energy. And they talk about the Earth. The other day I got a very clear message, and they said the Earth, you know, is ascending. She's moving to the next level. It's not optional. We have to adjust to that and become frequency specific to her evolutionary process. And then they said the sun and the Earth have an agreement, and the sun is assisting in this process. So it's interesting when you get this information, you find out the way they look at the universe and the planets and everything else is that everything is consciousness, and you know, it goes from consciousness to light to energy to mass, and there's energy beings, light beings, and beings that are pure consciousness. So it's all working together synchronistically right now to assist us to get through this process. And we're kind of the ones out of sync, because we have an energy body, a light body, and a body that's pure consciousness. But a lot of people are just running around in their personality self and their egos, you know, doing the see me, dig me game and trying to acquire as much, you know, acquire as much wealth and notoriety or fame as possible, and totally forgetting that there's nothing to seek outside of self that you don't already have.
Yeah, that's true. Now, have you seen that video that's floating around about the Mayan giving the prophecy about the 8 minutes that will happen on December the 20th? Have you seen that?
Oh, I've seen quite a few of those. Can you refresh my memory? What's supposed to happen in those 8 minutes? Or
I don't remember his name, but I saw it last week, and he's an old Mayan elder, and a lady was translating for him, and he talked about that there would be an 8-minute period where the consciousness of the planet and the people would be accelerated to such a degree that it would just enhance all the cells in human, animal, and the planet herself. And he didn't
mm-hmm.
say exactly what time that was, but it made sense, because of the way he finished describing how it comes about, and I remembered that I had tapped into some information that was very similar to that, and it has to do mm-hmm. with activating the brain, the human brain, to where, well, think of it as a computer, that more files are coming into our brain and accessing more information. And the limitations that they put on us now by 10% brain activity they say we have, it'll increase maybe 15 to 20%. So mm-hmm. when I heard that, then I remembered that the different energies were coming down to access and open up the files in our brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. It definitely is, paints a good picture on what's going to happen. You know, the way I see it is that definitely there is going to be, the veils between worlds are going to be coming much, it's already happening. They're getting much thinner. I'm sure you're probably seeing it, but I mean, I'm seeing light flashing all around my head sometimes, or I'm seeing just flashes of light in the sky, big bursts of light that sometimes other people don't see, and sometimes they do see them, depending on their evolution, their spiritual evolution. And the shadow beings, you know, and beings standing there that where there isn't anything, and all kinds of things happening right now that have really increased exponentially.
Yeah, a lot of high strangeness. Walking around the house and feeling, first of all, sometimes I feel like I'm walking in water. And then when I turn mm-hmm. around, I see little dashes of light, and then I see shadowy figures, you know, racing across the floor. All kinds of things mm-hmm. are going on.
Yeah, it's quite a light show. A lot of times at night, especially when these solar flares activate things, with that increase of energy, everything seems to really pick up here because we live on a vortex anyway, and the veils are already thin here, and then we start getting incredible downloads of information and communication and connect with, fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional beings, and it gets pretty crazy. But I've noticed that's all accelerated during these times where there's a lot of solar activity and, you know, a large influx of energy is coming into the planet.
Have you had any more communications with the cat people?
Yeah, that's ongoing. They're beautiful beings. It's really funny I'm trying to think of how to say this, but basically there's a lot of people that are very religious. You know, you might be Eastern religion or Muslim religion or even Christian religion or whatever. And I find it interesting even in the East where, you know, like let's say the Hindu religion where they have all the different gods and they have the Vyamanas and the ships and the descriptions of the physical ships, the energy ships, the light ships and the different beings and over 400,000 humanoid species out there. They have all this information in there, but you know, you speak anything outside the box, you know, that doesn't fall into worshiping Krishna or Babaji or one of these other masters, they flip out, you know, they go, no, that's just all illusion. That's all. You have to follow, you know, this guy or this god or this being or whatever, you know, even though it's in their teachings, you know, and all of this information, it's in the Bible, it's in the frescoes all over Europe, you know, concerning the interaction with these higher dimensional beings. It's in all the ancient teachings, but I just find it interesting that people dismiss that. So because they dismiss that, it's not part of the reality, because the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect, or it's like consciousness is creating reality, and you're dismissing that, refusing to look at it, so you're dismissing that part of your being. But in truth, we're multidimensional beings existing on a vibrational continuum, and when we get past the body and the personality and the mental constructs and religions and things like that, you know, all of these other worlds start opening up and you start interfacing, interacting with these higher beings. But when you do that, you have to master judgment and fear in order to do that, because, if you see a being appear to you that looks out of source, not normal, what you're used to, and you react with fear or aggression or whatever else, that's the end of that one. You know, that's the end of that connection. So it is really important that we rise to the occasion and master fear and judgment and to have these higher connections.
So have the cat people showed up again?
They're always here, actually.
Yeah, okay.
They're here. Yeah, they're keeping an eye on the place. That's one of the reasons I'm not too worried about all these other events, because there's some pretty powerful beings here. On our website, there's some photographs of, we've had Mary appear here and got some wonderful photographs of her, and Kuan Yin, you know, and some of the six-dimensional felines. We've actually photographed them as they dropped in. But and the ships, we have a lot of footage and video about the ships and things. Some of the links aren't working right now. We're actually fixing those and straightening them out. We were linked to another site where a certain individual had all of our footage, and he just killed the site and crashed everything, you know, so having a meltdown. So we're redoing everything.
So how was your summer? Did you have any seminars or groups of people come up this summer?
You know, we did. We had the conference, you know, our usual conference we have right around 4th of July weekend. And that was great. You know, we had some really good speakers come up for that. And we got some photographs that were just phenomenal, especially during the speakers panel. We had Tian Jai was here. She teaches a really ancient form of like, well, it's like Yigong or Qigong or things like that. She has a different name for it. Was here, just a beautiful woman with really high energy. I'm trying to remember her name. I've got a mental block. Well, it'll come to me. You know, the woman from, she's actually from South America. She channels, she's a kind of walk-in. I don't know why I'm not thinking of it. It starts with an A. It just fried my brain for some reason. but anyway, it'll come to me. But, you know, we had Neil Kramer was here, was one of the speakers, and myself, I gave a talk. And, you know, really good group. You can go to the website and check it out. Anelia is the name. Anelia was here. And we took a group photograph during the panel. And Mel Fabregas was the one running the panel. And the photograph was just all kinds of pinks and purples with these giant diamond-shaped orbs. And it looked like a curtain, a light curtain just came down over the whole panel, the speaker panel. So it was a real, Anelia Benz was the one, other one that was there. But it was just amazing, the energy that was there during the conference, and, you know, people were having spontaneous healings, and, you know, all kinds of really awesome things were happening.
But when people come up there to see you, is there a motel close by, or do they camp out, or what's the accommodation?
Yeah, there's motels in the area. There's camping. We have really good facilities for camping. We have showers and bathrooms and everything. And we have some rooms by donation, just a couple rooms that are available, a few rooms. But most people like to just come up and camp, just because you're in that, we call it the field of dreams, that we have this one echinacea field that is so full of energy. It's just amazing. And there's just wall-to-wall orbs and light spheres flying around and beings appearing in the field. It's pretty crazy.
I think I saw that picture on your website. It's like a blizzard of orbs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what happens here. It's even inside, you know, it's the same thing inside the conference building, or when we're doing clearings, the same thing happens.
Well, you know, Ariel, maybe we should think about next year hooking up with James and taking a Starseed Quest group up there. That sounds like something we'd probably need to think about doing.
That's always been something that I've wanted to do since the very first time I found out about the ranch, and you know, it'll happen.
I'm going to turn it back over to you, Ariel, and James, I'll talk to you later. I think that Ariel has a few questions for you, and then we have some questions from our listeners.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Great. Well, you know, you were talking about the energies concerning global consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Would you? Can you? You know, kind of give an estimate of where it is and where it needs to be, and how close does it need to be? Because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that the higher the global consciousness is, the less severe any earth changes would need to be. Is there a mm-hmm. correlation there?
You know, there is. And if we could shift, you know, there's a theory called the many worlds theory. And you know, it's all tied into the dimensions, too, are all tied into frequency. And so all you have to do is raise your frequency a little bit, and you're outside of this paradigm or this timeline, and you're in a whole different world or a whole different timeline. And there's a lot of people doing that already. We have a lot of people here at the ranch that are appearing and disappearing, and I've got a lot of footage of myself doing it. Khan is another master teacher. We have footage of him appearing and disappearing. And a lot of my students, it happens during the self-mastery classes where they actually phase out, and you can see right through them in the chair, and then they're gone. But what's really interesting is that when it happens to them, they get a little spacey, but they're still fully aware of their surroundings and everything. But their surroundings, the people in around them are not aware of them. It's hard to explain, but because all the higher dimensions are fully aware of what's going on in the lower dimensions. And so a lot of times when it happens, you don't even know what's happening. You don't know it's happening to you until you walk up to somebody who's not participating, and you're out of phase. They can't see you. They're not aware that you're there, and you say something, and they jump out of their shoes. and it's kind of funny that happens here a lot. But it's just important to realize that you know, that right now we're in this dense physical world, and as long as we have dense physical bodies, we're subject to what happens here on this planet. Now, if we can raise our frequencies up, it's not going to be as severe, and we can actually skip this reality altogether. The heavy changes that are going to occur for the Earth to go through her transition. But it's kind of interesting, because what they're telling me is that in the future there's going to be, you know, both a magnetic and a physical pole shift, and now the scientists are starting to talk about the same thing, and it has to do with this alignment that we're coming into. But you know, the magnetic pole shift is highly documented. You know, the Earth, the magnetic lines aren't even going out. You know, they're coming out the South Pole. A lot of them aren't even making it back over to the North Pole. They're just coming back into the Earth, and there's huge holes. And our magnetic fields are very, very weak right now, because they're in the process of going through that shift, which ties into why people are seeing all these huge meteors and you know, fireballs and things like that happening, because our shields are down. Our shields are very low right now, and we're moving through an area, you know, when we move through a galactic plane, it's kind of dirty space. There's a lot of debris in it, and so we're going to see a lot more meteors, falling stars, whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. comets, things like that. We're going to see a lot more of that. Luckily, the Earth's atmosphere usually takes care of those things. They burn up. But with the fields down, they're getting closer and closer, and we're having less protection. We're actually losing layers of our own, you know, up in the ionosphere and the thermosphere and things like that. Those are changing as well. We're having major changes up there. And, you know, and then you add what we're doing up there with all the chemtrails and everything else, which is a real barbaric act. I don't even know who's behind that. Or from what I understand, the brainchild of that program, it was Teller, and he was the same guy who's the atomic bomb. You know, he was one of the major guys who invented the atomic bomb, and they wanted to just let a few off to see what would happen, and not even knowing whether or not it would ignite the entire atmosphere of Earth. They weren't sure if it would create a cascade effect and destroy the whole Earth, but they lit them off anyway, you know, just to see. So these are the kind of people that are setting policy and playing around with, you know, a lot of these technologies such as, you know, chemtrails, HARP, and a lot of these other technologies. And it's very sad that we've turned our power over to these scientists and these corporations, because that's one of the most serious problems that we have right now is these corporations without a heart or a consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Well, the question just went out of my brain. I guess Mercury just like stalled out. What do you think? I mean, is there only so far that those naughty children can go before, you know, the ETs step in and say, you know, we're not going to let you blow up the planet?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because their game is pretty much over. They can't continue with it. And it has everything to do with frequency. They're not frequency specific to the Earth's evolution and where she's going. And so that game that they have going, the separation game and the greed and the aggression, all those things, that whole game is fast coming to a close. And although you do have, you know, a few elite and some leaders still trying to play that game, overall the people are fed up with it. The masses are fed up with that game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what you're seeing right now is that the masses are awakening and arising, and the elite are doing all they can to hold on to the old program. But the problem is what's happening is universal in nature, and no man can stop it, no matter what kind of toys you have or power or what you think is power. But, you know, real power, if you're operating from real power, the ultimate power is love, and it's the source itself. And when you're allowing that power to come through you, that's when you're operating from real power. They have a false power. Their power is power over others, where real power empowers others. You know, it assists, it's service-oriented. And so that game, that power over others game, and the separation game, you know, is all falling apart. And even in the scientific realms, you know, with the unified field theories and all these other things that are coming out, which are very accurate, it's, you know, even the scientists are realizing that everything is connected, and you know, what harm you do to anything you do to yourself, it's all interconnected. So they're coming to that conclusion.
Yeah, well, you know, like I have been saying for quite some time, as far as the, you know, 2012 thing, is that because of the shifting, and this is all for the good, it is all for improvement and freedom and all that. But for the people who are the power mongers and the enslavers and all of those, you know, it might be the end of the world for them, because those kind of practices cannot continue in a new vibration. But for people who are ahead of the game, in other words, more high consciousness, more evolved, you know, December 22nd or 24th, whatever, will just be nothing, you know, because the world will continue, because you're already in the new the consciousness. So I think that's where the difference is, like, oh yeah, it is an end for some things, and there are things that need to end. So I'm ready to celebrate.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are going to get a gentle shove, you know, into the next reality, whereas the other guys are going to get a kick in the head. You know?
Yeah.
You know, that's one way of saying it. It's because, you know, they're not frequency specific, and I'm seeing too is that the polarities are becoming very strong right now between, you know, those who are choosing the downward spiral and playing the separation and greed and power over others game, control game, that they're becoming the few. You know, they're doing all they can to get everybody under their wing, and everybody living under the government or dependent on the government and things like that. They're doing everything they can and to tighten down controls and to completely control this whole situation, even consciousness. They're trying to control everything on every level. But that's just not going to work, because if they want to do that, they need to pick something, a planet in the lower astral level or somewhere else, you know, that mm-hmm. where they can play that game out, because it's just not functional on Earth, and it doesn't match the frequencies of where Earth is going. And what I think with these energies, as I was talking before about magnetics, with if you get a magnetic pole shift, when you have this process, and I think it's going to take about 9 days when this event starts moving, it's going to happen really quick. It's already moving around right now. It's jumping all over the place, but the North Pole is actually, I think it's in Siberia now. It's not even it's on land. But when we get to the major pole shift, the electromagnetic pole shift, what happens magnetically is that those with a very dense consciousness and those with very dense vibration, they're the ones that it affects the most. And that level of consciousness, pretty much that grid, you might say, just it gets eliminated.
Well, it's a necessary and welcome event for the up spiral and higher consciousness beings. But let me ask you this. Now, that scenario of people that are trying, you know, they're aligning with lower, darker agenda. Does the same thing apply? I mean, it applies to humans here, but does the same thing apply to ET races? Because I know, as you said on the website, most ET races are very benevolent, very evolved, very mm-hmm. you know, non-interference. But there's like a thimbleful, just a little mm-hmm. little teeny tiny contingency that are about power and control. So does the same thing apply to them?
It
does.
That
they have to go to some other planet to do that?
Yeah. They have one choice, basically, to evolve and match the frequencies, you know, of the planet as she goes on, or get off, you know. And, you know, a lot of them are... There were agreements and contracts quite a long time ago. Laura Meglin Eisenhower talks a lot about this, and I've done a lot of research into it, where we did have agreements and contracts, not only our government but other governments as well, with low-level contact and low-level ETs. And it goes back to the civilization. You know, if you're in a very aggressive, warlike civilization, you're going to magnetize beings of that nature. And if you have that within your being, you're going to align yourself with those beings. If you're very loving and joyous and service-oriented, you're going to align yourself with beings of that nature. And unfortunately, the powers that were at that time, and the powers that be now that are becoming the powers that were again,
uh-huh.
made some very bad choices on behalf of humanity, and so they just seek power and control over others and technology to use to you know, control and dominate, and so that got very heavily ingrained into the Earth, you know, consciousness, and we're seeing that expressed in various ways. I mean, you look at, you know, we are moving towards a fascist state right now, and you know, with all these homeland security things and all the technology and how the technology is being used, and HARP technology and psychotronics and chipping everything and ID this and ID that, you know, all that stuff is coming from those draconian consciousness and the grays, you know, and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that whole mess is being phased out and cleaned up. And actually, who's heavily involved in this is a lot of different star nations are involved in this, but the main group are the Palladians. And because they have more genetic stock on the Earth than any other race, and not just human genetics, but also the plant life here and things like that. There's actually 12 major star nations that were involved in terraforming and, you know, getting this planet operational, you know, and functional. So they these groups, you know, brought their genetics and their animal and plant genetics as well. And anybody that's actually really studied evolution or biology realizes that things were introduced. It wasn't this long, arduous process of evolution where things just randomly mutated and evolved to something else. There was a guiding intelligence behind all of this. Mm-hmm. You know, even the random mutations, you know, there was an intelligence behind that. And some of this intelligence was much closer than we think. You know, it's not so far away as this little old man in a beard, you know, out in the universe. It was some very advanced races that were involved, you know, in doing a lot of this work. But what happened was that the original intent for the Earth was to become an Eden and, you know, to be a place where people could evolve to their highest potential and have a physical experience and to take the physical experience and the physical Earth and evolve it to you know, its highest potential. And it got hijacked along the way by these lower beings that came in and started incarnating and tinkering and you know, some low-level ETs and things like that came in and kind of hijacked the original intent. But now it's being reset and it's being put back on track again to go back to the original intent, and we're in the process of that reset, you know, where they hit the reset button.
Mm. Well, this is just really wonderfully exciting to hear, and it's great confirmation for a lot of us. When you talk about 12 star nations that came together in cooperation to terraform the planet and put their genetics on the planet. I was wondering, is there a universal language? How do they communicate? Is it just telepathy and images?
Yeah, most of them are telepathic, and they're communicating through the heart, It's really interesting because you feel the messages come through feelings and you feel what they are trying to tell you. And it's a different, your mind usually is so objective, been so programmed, it's very hard to communicate on that level. So the more the communication is telepathic and it's more like a heart or a feeling nature, when you get, you know, in your soul, everything is recorded. All of your lives, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever been, off-world existences, everything is all recorded in the soul. But it's more done on an emotional level. And so the really powerful emotional experiences you have are the ones you usually access. But it's not the mind. They're not stored within the mind. They're actually stored more in your soul, and your emotional body is what accesses that. And your emotional body is a bazillion times bigger than your mental body.
And they use the same method of telepathy in communicating with each other as well as with us?
Yeah, they have their languages. I know a lot of the ambassadors they've sent here, the contacts that people are having here, most of those can speak quite a few different languages. And I'm sure they probably have taken off. All the Earth languages, and as well as other languages, you know, other off-world languages, and a lot of the communication is done in what they call like a light packet, where a whole bunch of information comes bundled, and it comes in at once, and you just get it. you know, you just, it's a knowing that happens. You know, it's really hard to explain until you've experienced it.
Like spontaneous understanding.
Exactly. It's our direct knowing. Most people know it as direct knowing or those little, you know, on a lower level, it'd be like intuitional hits, you know, or
uh-huh.
deja vu, I've been here before,
uh-huh.
things like that.
Well, so did you have any heightened activity or notice any you know, contact? Because we just had Pleiadian lineup last week, and I have a feeling that it's probably going to be extended even past the you know, the typical 25, 26, 27 degrees of Scorpio. So have the Pleiadians been around last week? Have you seen anybody?
Yeah, we've had a lot of activity, although our skies have been, we've had just rain after rain after rain up here, and so the skies are very, very dark and hard to see much of anything flying around. But we've had a lot of inner activity going on during that time and inner contact. And some of the beings coming in, like some of the Pleiadians are 2 million years ahead of us in evolution. They're coming back in time to assist us, to help us out. And there's some that are closer to us, you know, that are coming in right now. But it's kind of tricky because they're not aggressive races. They don't like any aggression whatsoever. They don't want to deal with fear. If you have fear, they don't, you know, it's hard for them to engage you because it's actually sickening to them to feel that energy. It's very hard on them. So you know, they have to break things in gently to humanity, you know, break people in a little bit at a time so we don't go nuts, you know, or lose it or fall
right.
into our old religious warring programs, you know, that we're accustomed to. But, yeah, there's been a lot of activity, and I know the sightings around the world have increased exponentially, and they're just seeing fleets of ships, I mean, all over the United States lately, and Mexico, just Thanksgiving weekend, there was quite a few little sorties, you might say, with maybe 20 ships or so flying around doing some pretty phenomenal aerobatics up there.
Wow. I remember, I think it was maybe the last time that you were with us, we're talking about the people that are waiting for disclosure, and it's like, what are you talking about waiting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, contact has been going on. But I can understand how, because if they're totally telepathic, they don't want to get next to somebody who's got that low frequency.
Yeah, I like that saying, you know, that old saying that the Hopi were saying that, you know, we are the ones we've been waiting for, you know, us to wake up. And
mm-hmm.
I always tell people we're the ETs we've been waiting for. And it's time for us to wake up because it's a matter of us. We incarnated for this event. No, that's another thing they told me is that the initiations are stepping up, where they're initiating people and you know, returning their memories to them of off-world existences and family reunions, you might say, off-world family reunions. They said that is happening exponentially, and there are so many, I guess you call them star seeds, or people that are more ET in their soul than they are from others, from other realms or from the earth, you might say, they're activating them, and there's just a mass awakening on that level going on.
Well, I have some notes here that I've jotted down. So you have had visiting at your place. Just ballpark figure, I guess, because there's been so many. How many different species that you are aware of?
Jeez. You know, there's some, I don't even know who they are, that I've seen. That would be hard to explain. I've seen so many. I've seen a lot of different beings. A lot of, you know, we've had the Orion Council of Light beings coming here. We've had some gray activity, which wasn't fun. We had to kind of escort them off the ranch, you know.
Uh-huh.
The gray area, I always talk about the grays as a real gray area because, you know, there seems to be some benevolent ones and some that are hybrids and things like that that people are having good experiences with. And there are some really low-level ones that you really want to avoid. They're just disruptors. You know, they're just here to disrupt the awakening healing process, and they're feeders and parasites. So there's different ones, it seems like, in that field. But, you know, I always tell people if you're not clear and awake and you don't know how to maintain your own self-authority and use discernment, you know, that you might want to avoid that group and work with the more benevolent ones that are more like us. And, you know, it's a lot better path until you really know how to hold your own because, you know, some of those guys, even the ones that are self-serving, you might say, or even malevolent, they're very powerful mentally. But spiritually, they're very backwards. You know, they have great minds, but they're emotional cripples or spiritual cripples. And so they're not going to make the shift. A lot of them aren't going to make the shift because, especially to get into the higher dimensions, you have to have emotions. You have to have that love and joy and bliss and be able to handle those frequencies and raise yourself up to get into these higher dimensions. And so they're stuck. I mean, they aren't going anywhere because a lot of them have bred emotions out of their race. And they've made some very serious mistakes in their evolutionary process. And that's basically why they need us, you know, to try to, you know, breed emotions back into their race. And that's why they're doing a lot of these hybrid programs and experimentations. But it's... you know, I think that game is coming to an end, and you know, all of these hidden agendas are being exposed. You know, these ET human contracts and programs that are going on, and black ops and things like that. Those are all being uncovered and exposed, and the ones that are detrimental to the awakening and healing of humanity and the Earth are actually being removed. They're being, you know, it's no longer acceptable to behave in that manner. So where we've been extremely interfered on, the ETs can, by universal law, step in and do something and take care of that. But as long as we choose to align ourselves with some of these negative beings and act, you know, in an aggressive, controlling, manipulating manner, you know, our doors are open to these kind of energies. And so it all goes back to choice, you know, choosing to live, you know, a life of service, to be kind to each other, to, you know, honor the sacred circle of life and see the creator in all creation. As long as we hold to those principles, we're fine and don't deviate from that. But there are beings that will influence us and take advantage of our own base natures and do some pretty despicable things down here, and that's been the problem for quite some time.
Right. Yeah. And if we go willingly, then you know, the benevolent ones, they can't do anything because we made a choice to
exactly,
you know,
yeah, but, yeah,
to take that lower road. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's universal law. They have to honor free will and our choices. And so if we choose to engage the higher consciousness and energy and align with the benevolent ones, and this includes the angelic realms and ascended masters and things of that nature, if we choose to go in that direction, then we are going to, they can assist us, you know, in rising to the occasion, assist us in our evolution. If we choose to continue with the separation war game and the greed and all the other stuff, then they're just going to let that program collapse, because, and anybody who's a willing participant in that or aligned with that program is going to collapse along with it. If you serve the beast, when the beast falls, you're going to fall with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's that simple. And,
uh-huh.
And I tell people, that, they go, well, I have a family, you know, to feed, and I have, and I go, yeah, and you got a nice SUV and a big house and a pool and everything else, but, you know, you're building bombs, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the problem with that is you're building bombs, and those bombs are hurting people, and you're destroying families and creating immense pain and suffering. So the bottom line is that you're participating in this program, and so all of these things that you've acquired, you know, in that manner, you're going to lose because your foundation isn't correct. You know, you've built your whole empire on a false foundation. And that's what I'm saying, is that all of these major corporations, the war industry, all these things are now going to just be dismantling, falling apart, because the support isn't here for it anymore. And they're trying to force it, you know, to force the support, which isn't going to work either. You know, it's not frequency specific to where the Earth's evolving to. So
mm-hmm.
So there's just a huge dismantling process underway right now, and it's just going to get exponentially stronger.
Well, you know, I'm cheering it on, because it is the end of the Piscean age. The Piscean mm-hmm. is about, you know, things that are covert and suffering, and a lot of that. And the Aquarian age is about freedom, about truth. You know, brotherhood. And I mean, this has been an ongoing process, as the changing of ages for since the beginning of time here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it has to happen, and then you get a lot of other things that go along with that as part of the big plan, with the magnetic shifting and the Earth coming into
mm-hmm.
a plane with galactic center and you know, traveling through space. This is all part of the age of Aquarius coming and flourishing. And I'm more excited about it, you know, because
yeah.
So many of us feel so helpless. When you see things, you know, you see them on TV and you see things and you go, man, that's just not right. That is just not
yeah.
right, you know. And the machine, you know, as you said, I mean, people have to feed their families, they have to do this and that, and they've got their hands tied,
mm-hmm.
because when it comes right down to it, you have to feed your kids, and then there's no time left over for, you know, going out and doing the, you know, metaphysical, spiritual kind of work. So the age of Aquarius mm-hmm. is just going to handle all that anyway.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's
like
going
said,
to implode.
Yeah. So just make sure, everyone, that you have your, you know, your consciousness taking it as high as you can. And, James, can you – I'm going to ask you an impossible question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a recommended process that you could kind of put into a nutshell, because it seems like it's real easy. Well, just raise your vibration. Well, what about
mm-hmm.
people that are scratching their head going, well, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Where should your focus be to make your vibration go up?
Yeah. You know, it all begins in consciousness, basically. And the denser vibrational energies are like, you know, greed, envy, jealousy, anger, aggression, all those things, those are very dense frequencies. And we also have a lot of old wounds and traumas that we're carrying from the past, not just in childhood, but in past lives as well. That's in our fields as well. So we use a process here where we do transpersonal release sessions, where we go through and we clear out any past life trauma, that's the energies that those are still in people's fields. And then we go from age one and hit the patterns, you know, where there's been any abuse or things like that, clear those up. And then we go into, we put them in direct communication with their own main teacher and guide, or their higher self or source, whatever you want to call it, you know, whatever it's individual like each person, like some people are very plugged into the Andromedan energies or the Pleiadian energies or, you know, the Orion Council of Light or Arcturian energies or the Sirians, you know. Some people were actually felines in a past life and they had expressions there. So they can hook up with their families, you know. They can hook up with their benevolent families that are much more advanced than we are here, you know. They've already gone through all this stuff, and so they can help guide them, you know, and assist them in this process. But I mean, we're not the only one. There's a lot of groups doing similar things. But what I see, one of the first things is to clean up the consciousness and release the past, and do as much work on that level. And as you move down, you might want to change your surroundings. You know, if you're in a very dense job or an energy surrounding, if it's very unnatural, you know, it's not feeling right, you know a lot of times you can work on changing the energy there where you're at, or you can move and get into a more natural environment, get closer to nature, you know, work closer to the earth and things of that nature. Or you could go also to, what I'm finding out is it's really important to get really fresh water, clean water, and natural water, you know, with all the elements in it, you know, the minerals and things. A lot of rainwater is very acidic, and with all the chemicals in the air, and especially the chemtrails and everything else, they're so full of heavy metals that they're a mess. And so you want to get water that's coming, that's been purified, that's coming up from the ground, you know, deep within the ground, that has a really good mineral content in it as well. You know, it's live water.
Mm-hmm.
And there's ways of actually activating your water, spinning it in different ways and things like that, where you can actually change the frequencies of the water. But I work with a physicist that actually crystallizes oxygen and stabilizes it in water, you know, as a microhydrant. And that's like prana in a bottle when you drink that. And it clears out, you know, it pops viruses and bacteria, even a lot of chemicals and things. It just breaks the molecular bond, and it turns into a crystalline form, and that's a real healing technology. But there's so many different ways, you know, get away from these GMO foods and the fluoride in the water and the aspartame and the, you know, all these other things, you know, get away from the Marisol and a lot of the what do you call it?
Fluorocarbon?
All that vaccines, you know. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not practicing medicine here, but you should really do some research into what's really in those, you know, before you allow these things to go into your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. But what
well,
I've seen is that.
Sense.
Yeah.
It makes perfect
we just
sense,
need
you know?
To get. Get back to nature, you know. One of the yogis I hung out with, I love what he said, you know. He said the cure for all diseases is fresh air, you know, pure water and sunshine, you know. And he said, you know, you get those three elements going in your life and you just, you know, try to live by, you know, right thinking and right action and things of that nature. He said everything goes away. But as long as you have, you're in a polluted environment, you know, not just the physical pollution, but the mental and emotional pollution and even spiritual pollution. You know, there's low-level astral beings that can make people sick, or they vamp off their energies and can run their energies down. You know, there's a lot of different types of pollution. But, you know, if you start really working on cleaning that up, you know, around you, you'll see, you know, you'll take a quantum leap in you know, health and evolution.
Well, you know, I'm going to do I guess it's a little plug unintentional, but I love Mountain Valley spring water. It comes from Hot Springs, Arkansas, and it has been filtered over you know, ancient crystal veins, and you know, it's got high pH, it's very alkaline, and you know, it, I mean, it's that whole Hot Springs, Arkansas. It's a natural wonder, magical place, and I just
I just love that water, and I read a study about tap water and what's in tap water and how it doesn't really get filtered out.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh, star seeds do not drink tap water. You know, I'd rather go thirsty until I can get home and get my Mountain Valley water. but, you know, it does. And
oh,
I think
yeah.
also finding, counting your blessings every day, finding ways to keep yourself in a state of gratitude, that's very high frequency.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know. So you mentioned connecting with, you know, an individual's star family. And, I mean, and a lot of people and the clients that I work with, they will have an attraction or an affinity for a certain race and certainly the people that have Pleiadian connections, that'll show up in their chart using Lavendar's discovery of star markings. But if someone wanted to really reach out and do you think or do you understand or know or whatever that each person who is a what we call starseed, a galactic soul in an earth body, they all have a backup team. Nobody comes here. Nobody gets dropped off and abandoned here. And
yeah,
everyone
yeah.
has a team that will guide them to the point of their free will. How would one reach out to them to try to find out, you know, who's my guide, who's my guardian, who is the being that I can reach out to for guidance?
You know, I think a good analogy is if you walked into a room with a bunch of broken radios and you're trying to tune them in and get a certain station or whatever, it's just not going to happen. And so you have to hang around fixed radios, you know, or radios that you know, can reach the higher bands and things like that. So, you know, there are a lot of people on the planet right now that are naturally, a lot of the children are naturally attuned to these higher levels, the higher conscious energy. And, you know, we really need to start listening to them, you know, and what they have to say. But we can also receive a lot of information by finding, you know, somebody who is very clear and very attuned, you know, to the higher levels. We can get information that way. But always keep your discernment. You know, never give your power away, or if that teacher is not empowering you or making you accountable and responsible for your own choices and actions and evolution, then it's a good idea to maybe find a new teacher, you know, because, you know, if you're worshiping somebody else, you know, you're giving your power away. And it's like
a
battery.
Absolutely.
You're leaking. Your battery's
yeah.
leaking. And so there's a lot of people who love to hook into everybody's batteries, and they get off on it, you know, and they use that energy, and sometimes in a self-serving way. So it is very important to connect with people that are very service-oriented, that are very loving and caring, that don't have agendas, and that are just in full service mode, and that are connected to these higher levels. And there's many of them out there, and there's many processes out there. You know, I always tell people contact comes with enlightenment. And the more you seek enlightenment and the more you meditate and do your you know, even setting your intention and your prayers for awakening and things like that. And before you go to bed, you know, we recommend doing clearings before you clear your space and then set the intent that you want to be taught, you know, in your dreams, or you want to have, you know, higher dimensional inspiration, healing, contact, whatever. The more you do that, the more you're going to create that reality. And so it's pretty simple, but the hard part is doing it and being consistent with it and disciplined with it. But my suggestion is to really get out in nature, meditate as much as you can out in nature, set your intent, you know, to reunite with your own, you know, God self, make your own personal connection with spirit or creator, whatever you want to call it, and start living closer to the land and just try to, you know, live in peace and harmony with the land and each other, and you're automatically going to start raising in frequency to where all these other things will start happening. And you can go to some churches and have a religious experience, but, you know, the spiritual experiences are usually outside those boxes. They take you much further than the religious experiences, because the religion keeps you usually in the confines of that religion. So I always tell people, you know, watch out for exclusivity. You know, people are saying that they have the exclusive on God or ET. You know, we know a few out there, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. Well, you took the words right out of my mouth, because it's like, yeah, organized religion is based on separation. So how can it possibly go any farther than that?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's some questions they need to ask themselves. It's like, you know, is God omnipresent? You know, and according to their teachings, yes, God's omnipresent. So that means the Creator's omnipresent in all creation. I mean, it's everywhere present. And they said, yes. And I said, well, what about all the other children of God, all those other cultures and colors and beliefs? That's God too, you know. Oh, no. You know, that's not God. You know, we're the chosen ones. And I just go, the chosen ones are those who chose to live a life of love, basically. But,
yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, it is interesting, but I'm seeing now that a lot of the major religions, that the big religions are falling. I went to a conference in Canada, which was quite interesting, and they put me on a panel, and, you know, there was the head of the Greek Orthodox Church there, there was another guy that represented the Catholic Church, and all the major churches were represented in this panel. And for some reason they put me on this panel, you know, which probably wasn't a good idea, you know, but because I'm not afraid to say what needs to be said. So the first question was, is why are the congregations diminishing? And the Greek Orthodox guy was saying, you know, look, we're down, we've lost 70% of our congregation. And we're closing churches and having to close things down and this and that. And the other guy was saying the same thing. And there's all these, you know, people representing different faiths. And so they couldn't figure out why. And some of the New Age movements are thriving. I mean, they're doing much better. But still, they're kind of falling away. People go there for a while and get the hit for a while. And then they find out it's another kind of another separation game. You know, it's just the other side of the coin. But what's interesting is that, you know, they asked me, you know, why do I think, you know, that this is happening? And so I went back to the panel, I turned back to them and I said, what is God? You know? And they all just looked at each other and they didn't have an answer. They kind of didn't have an answer and they're kind of going, supreme being, intelligence. And I said, well, isn't God just love, you know? I said, can't we all agree that God is love? It's probably the pure love and joy and bliss in its highest expression, you know? And they said, yes. And I said, is that in your congregation? Is that what you're teaching, you know? And I said, are you teaching people that God is within them, that pure love and joy and bliss is within them, that the temple's within? Same thing going on, you know, the same, you know, everybody's kind of looking at each other going, no, you know. And then the third question I asked them is, where are the women in your church? You know, and that really raised an eyebrow, you know, because these were all men on this panel, you know. And I said, where's the women? You know, I said, you know, the women by nature are more in touch with their emotions and their feelings, and God is a feeling, and they're more plugged in than the men. And they should be the ones giving the sermons and giving the information, and the men should be acting on it and assisting them if you get things right on an energy level. And I said, I go, where are the women? And all these nuns were in the front row there, like there's about 10 or 15 of them, you know. And all of a sudden, they're looking at each other, just smiling. They're just these big grins on their faces. And they're going, yeah. They're going, yeah, like this. And it was really interesting. And then so they changed the subject. And they said, well, do ETs have a God? Do ETs believe in God? And I said, well, I think it depends. I said, I can't really speak for all ETs. I can speak for the ones I've connected with. And I said, but they see the Creator in all creation. They see us as part of creation that's kind of forgotten and that is kind of blowing it right now on the planet and concerning what we're doing to each other and the planet. And they're in pure service mode, and they're here to serve, and they're here to assist us, you know, to wake up and remember. And that's kind of the way they see it, that, you know, that their image of God is it's the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness and all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. You know, they have a different image than we're giving, but they do believe in a source, a creator, and multi levels of that. Of that program, so it's just a much more expanded version of what we're running down here. But it was quite interesting. And then after that, they, you know, we got a standing ovation and everything from the crowd. They thought it was great. And and I went out there, and the nuns just kept hugging me over and over again. And they go, I don't know why. They go, I just love you. You go, we just love. You know, it was really funny. I just said, you know, I said, because I was your voice, and it was coming from a man. I said, but maybe it's time for you guys to step up and you know, speak your truth, you know. And I said, it is. It's really time for the feminine to step up right now, and that's the shift that we're undergoing. It's really time for the women to step up and the men to get behind them, and start speaking up, you know, concerning what's going on this planet, because the men have blown it. You know, this patriarchal war program and greed and separation game, most women won't play that game. It's not part of their program at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is really the crux of the whole thing, because there has been a repression of the divine feminine, an oppression of the divine feminine for thousands of years. And just like the nature of the universe is balance, if one side goes way, way, way down, the other side of the seesaw has to go way, way, way up. And when the male energy went way dominant like that, then you get, you know, that war thing with no tempering, because the women had to go sit down and shut up. So by the divine feminine coming back into balance, and for a while it'll probably have to be where women do take more places of power and to bring the shift back into balance. But ultimately, it has to be in balance, because it's not about having, you know, a divine feminine planet with no male energy. I mean, no masculine. Uh-huh. Because then that would be, there would nothing get done. You know?
It definitely, it needs balance. And that's what it's going back to. I mean, the pendulum, the energies coming in right now are so powerful. There's just so much love and joy and bliss and nurturing energy. And a lot of feminine energy is coming in. And, you know, a lot of women over the years have actually diminished that aspect of themselves, not realizing how powerful that is. I mean, if you take that loving, nurturing energy, that's what men do everything for. You know, out there.
Right.
Basically that's
true.
Yeah. It's like, but a lot of women have forgotten that, you know, that, and really when you step into your power, and, you know, most men, a lot of men, you know, I'd get bored with a woman that just did everything and was just pure yes sir service, you know, service. You know, if she didn't have a mind of her own and spoke up now and then, I would get you know, I would get bored with that. You know, almost most men do like a challenge. They like women that are going to stand up, you know, for themselves. And there's some men that are really whacked out. I have to admit that are very oppressive, you know. But you know, I really enjoy a woman with a mind of her own, you know, as long as you know, she's balanced or whatever. I think what's very sad is when women give up their femininity and they start acting like a man. And that is the problem, is that we have a lot of women, even in office right now, that aren't women. I mean, there is no love or nurturing or anything. You know, they don't have that grandmother wisdom. They're just as competitive and corrupt as the men whose offices they took.
It's lack of balance.
Exactly. And that's, you know, if you had some wise grandmothers running this country, things would turn around really fast, very quick.
Yeah.
Because grandmothers don't send their grandkids to war. They want their husbands home, you know, and they're more, you know, worldly or family oriented. You know, they want to respect and honor the family and be at peace and be more service and loving and nurturing. And that's the energy we need to step up. We need to get rid of all this old patriarchal, unbridled greed separation game that's going on. And that is happening. That's what these new, the Mayans call it the ninth wave, or the, you know, the unity wave of consciousness is coming in. And it is coming in. It's coming in strong, and that wave of energy is going to just turn upside down, you know, all the old paradigms and the old programs.
Well, I say hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah. So let everyone find a higher state of grace, whether man or woman, have more grace with each other, and live with as much gratitude in your heart as you can, and in that way we will all be contributing, you know, a drop to the bucket that needs to wash over the earth. And having said that, we have a caller that has been waiting patiently with a question, and since we only have a few minutes left, would you mind answering a question from...
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay, great. We are going to talk to Ralph here in just a second. Hi, Ralph. You're on the air with James Gilliland.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. The show.
Great. Yeah, great information, James. I really enjoyed the show. And I just had a curiosity, if you could expand on it a little bit. You mentioned the energies, if you have energy kind of entities that are energy vampires. Yeah, how do you recognize that that's what's going on, number one? And number two, what kind of things can you do to eliminate that?
So one of the easiest ways, if there are some people that are energy vampires, and you'll feel them walk in a room, and all of a sudden your energy just goes, ugh, you know, it goes down, and just go, oh, man, you know, I need to get out of here. You know, there's that going on. And then there's discarnate spirits out there that are trying to live vicariously through others. They're just kind of hanging out. People have different names for them. Some call them astral beings. And on the really low level, some people call them demons and things like that. There are some really screwed up spirits there. But basically what we do here is that, you know, it depends on your consciousness. You know, you can call on the source, you can call on Buddha, you know, Yeshua, Jesus, whoever, Babaji, whatever. You can call on these higher beings, Kuan Yin, Mary, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with. And you can actually invoke them and ask them for assistance. And there's a technique we do that we welcome these beings in love and light, and we tell them they're healed and forgiven, lifted and enlightened, and we ask the beautiful to take them to their perfect place. And then we also ask that all thought forms be dissolved, lifted, and healed, all psychic bonds severed, and close all of our auras off to our own highest expression. And it's a prayer I have. I have all these techniques in the Reunion with Source book and also Becoming Gods, that book as well. They're on our website at eseti.org. But that's the best way we found. Before I meditate, before I go to bed, I do clearings because I found out it's really important because you're only expanding consciousness as far out as your energies are clear. And so if there's unseen negative influences around, you're not going to open up very much. And while you're opening, if you feel something come in that doesn't feel right, I always say if you don't like what you're feeling, do a clearing, you know, do a healing. So it's kind of a rhyme. If you don't like what you're feeling, do a healing, you know. So that's basically, yeah, what we do here is whenever I go into a major store or a place where there's a lot of people, I'm automatically doing clearings. I'm clearing my fields and the store and everything. And then I don't get all drained when I go into these areas. So that's a technique that works for me. I'm sure there's other techniques or versions. That's just the one I've been trained in, and it works really well.
Okay, great. Thanks. And I had a real quickie. You mentioned that sometimes you have to escort the graves off from your area. How do you do that?
Same way, actually. I'll ask one of the Palladians, you know, to come in and pick these guys up. Just say, hey, we've got some interference going on here. And sometimes I'll have to bring in the Andromedans, who are, they're mythologically known as archangels. They're beings that are like 8 to 10 feet tall, and they have magnetized light bodies. And they usually clean things up very well. So it's kind of like the same process, you know, and I'll make it very clear, you know, if you're, you know, you're no longer free to manipulate or coerce or interfere in any way whatsoever with the land or the people here. And then I call on these beings to escort them off the property. And that works really well.
Wow, that's awesome.
You know, they like to mess with your technology. I know the grays really screw up your technology. So if you're working on a project where that's part of the awakening healing process, they seem to have a very, very gifted in making everything go wrong.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's kind of exciting stuff.
Great. Yeah, try it. See what happens.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, Ralph. Thank you so much for calling in. Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, those were good questions.
Yeah, I'm glad he asked this question because that is important to keep the unseen negative influences out of your fields. And I think we have that up on our website. Our website's undergoing a lot of work, but I'm pretty sure there's a section in there that teaches you how to heal unseen negative influences.
There is. As a matter of fact, I was just looking at that before the show. So that's working fine. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And once again, James, your website is eseti.org, and you've got books and videos and all kinds of teachings and documents. There's a lot of Word documents on, like, this one, clearing negative and unseen negative forces around you, a lot of really valuable and helpful information. So I urge everyone to check out the website, and you could probably spend a month on there and still not see everything there is to see. So, and we appreciate the rich content of your site.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, there's a lot on there. As I was saying before, a lot of the links were kind of messed up, but we're in the process of fixing that. And we're actually going to reload a whole new website this winter and totally redo it and make it very simple and service-oriented.
Well, I know that it's all a work of love, and so things get pretty quiet in the wintertime, do they?
Well, there's a lot of activity. We closed down. We're actually closed right now because we've got a big storm coming in, and we've already gotten some snow, but we're expecting some pretty good snow. So we just kind of closed down because, you know, we're raising yaks here and chickens and all the other things, and so we have to really devote our energies to you know, taking care of them and digging people out constantly is not something I enjoy doing.
But it's just too hard. Does the space activity slow down in the wintertime?
You know, some of my best sightings and things have been, you know, in the mid-January and things. If there's clear skies, it's usually still going on in the area. But we're just not out as much.
Well,
you know,
right,
I go
yeah.
I
just, standing hip deep in sub-zero snow to witness anything.
Yeah, but I'm usually still out. Filming. I'm out there checking, you know, because I'm kind of addicted to contact, you might say, because when the ships come over, you get these bliss hits, and it kind of assures me or reinstates my movement forward, you might say, because the problem with on Earth, there's very few mirrors, you know, there's very few people that you can hang out with and look into that mirror and see your own divinity. And so when I see the ships and things like that, that helps me to kind of, you know, stay on track.
Mhm. Yeah. Well, I can see. I mean, the energy, like you said, they're so sensitive, and they can't be around dense energies of those negative emotions that you mentioned. So it stands to reason that the space around them. It's going to be totally light, totally, mm-hmm. you know, uplifting and supporting. So when you get in their energy field, you get the lift.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even
exchange.
Whether they're in the sky. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a telepathic exchange and connection that is awesome. You know, I had a man come up here once a while back and very, very rich. The guy was very wealthy. And he pulled his check out, and he goes, "Well, how much? How much for a ride on the ship? You know, I'll write you a check right now." and it was like a Rodney Dangerfield movie or something, you know. And I told him, I said, I go, "It just doesn't work that way. You know, it doesn't work that way." And he goes, "No, seriously." He goes, "I've got my checkbook right here. You know, you name the price. You know, what do you need to get on the ship?" And I told him, I said, "You can't afford it. You know, you can't afford it, you know." And he's just going, "What do you mean?" I said, "Because you would have to totally give up your whole lifestyle, everything, and your thought process and the way you think, the way you can buy anything to get on that ship, because they don't care about your checkbook. They don't care about your money. They don't even use money. It's not important to them. What they care about is your evolution, your spiritual evolution." And I said, "You know, if you want to ride on a gray ship and get a probe or something, you know, it's another place. You know, you can go somewhere else." But
talk
I go,
about
you
traveling.
Yeah.
As they talk about traveling coach.
Yeah, exactly. So, I told him, I said, "You know, put your checkbook away. Just put it away. It doesn't work. If you want to join us and meditate and invite them in and do that kind of work, fine. You know, but otherwise, you know," I said, "I can't really help you on that, in that program."
So literally, your money's no good here, and you must be at least this tall to ride this ride.
Yeah,
Eddie just he was too short.
I could really know you. Yeah,
in
you could see that.
Yeah.
You took the money, you know, these hooks in it, and the next thing you know, he'd be suing you because he didn't get his ride, and then your integrity level goes out the. And then, you know, it's just like, it's just not worth it. You know, that program is not worth it. And it's funny too, because we've had people say things here, like with all the court things we've been dealing with, and just crazy for 2 years of court costs and paying lawyers and flying people in and going to other workshops and things like that. And we had a whole huge staff of people to deal with this nonsense. And it was just overwhelming. And then these people are spreading rumors on Facebook that this isn't really happening, that we're not being attacked or sued or anything else, and that we're just trying to get money, you know, for our own whatever. And it's unbelievable, because not only are you dealing with all this aggressive, oppressive energy where they're trying to shut you down and throw you in jail, basically, you know. And then you have these other people out there that are supposed to be light workers and conscious, you know, doing the same thing.
And it really, you know,
you start scratching your head and you go, what is wrong with these people? And I'm just seeing that there are so many victims out there and so many wounded people, and they're so hurt inside or whatever, that they're just, you know, wherever they can, you know, wherever they can play out their role, it doesn't matter. You know, they're going to project that on others and try to demonize or make people into the evil guy or the bad guy. You know, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing or how kind you are to people or how giving, it just doesn't matter. And that's one of the really sad things on this planet, is that very few people are owning their stuff and looking at their own patterns and their own victim patterns and their own aggression and anger and their deep wounds that are bringing that anger and aggression out and healing them versus, you know, projecting them on others and trying to, you know, make others responsible for their own pain bodies.
Well, it is a time of stepping up and doing everything we can individually to, you know, it's like we're all in a choir.
Yeah.
And everyone needs to just try to sing one note higher than you normally sing. You know,
exactly.
And keep stretching yourself. And there's nothing like human voices in harmony. And it's I make a lot of musical analogies because it really is about frequency. And,
it is.
You know, frequency of the spirit and frequency of sound. I was thinking about earlier when you were talking about the invisibility thing. It's like the dog whistle, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's a visual dog whistle. When you get to a high enough frequency, you can't hear it. And only only the dogs can hear it. So, you know, it's the same thing. Just get your frequency high enough through the methods that you talked about just a little while ago. And each one of us adds a little bit higher note to the chorus. And pretty soon, you know, we'll be where we wanted to be all along. So
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I can't believe we've only got 3 minutes here before we have to say goodnight, so we need to kind of tie it up. It is always just, were you about to say something?
Well, no, it's just that, you know, it's time to stop unifying around the negativity and start looking at what's positive and support the positive energy. And actually, if we are being hooked into the negativity, we need to go within ourselves and just say, okay, why are we hooked in this? And the problem is the ego just needs to be right. It's got to build a case. It's got to do this. And it's going to run every program it can. But the bottom line is that now is the time for total accountability and responsibility and stop looking outside of yourself or blaming, you know, or projecting. That just doesn't work anymore. No matter how righteous you think your program is, it's still, you know, it's still judgment and blaming and you know, it's just a very low frequency. And we can't cover it up with spirituality because, you know, or any other words, because it is what it is.
That's right.
It's time for people to really look at that in themselves and others and get very clear on, are we going to focus on the higher consciousness and energy? Are we going to become one with it? Are we going to be loving, joyous, service-oriented beings? Or are we going to take this other path? And that seems to be the bottom line.
Right. Well, there's really only, like, Lavendar, I'm going to quote you here as we have about a minute and 45 seconds left. As Lavendar says, energy doesn't lie, only people do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she's got so many great things. Lavendar, help me.
Well, the one I'd like to really say now is, if your name's not on it, don't do it. Know what your name is on. Just because somebody else is doing something doesn't mean you need to follow suit. You just have to get really quiet and say, is my name on that? And if it's not, say, well, lift this cup past my lips.
That's a good one. Or if it's not your coat, don't wear it, you know?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So,
I like that one because, you know, it's hitting a nerve. If it's your coat, you know, it's hitting a nerve, you know, and if it's not your coat, don't wear it, you know, just let it go.
Well, James, you got to come back as soon as possible, because there's so much more that we can talk about. I just absolutely love having you on the show, and I've only got 45 seconds left to go, so just let me say, everybody, please go to James's website and check out all the great information there. And, James, thank you so much. It's just a pleasure and an honor to have you with us, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. And, everybody, we will be back next week, and, James, good night to you, and I'm going to be doing our lead out here. But thank you so much, James.
Good night. Thanks. And we just all need to be kind to each other. That's the bottom line.
Well said. And good night on behalf of everyone here at Starseed Hotline, Starseed Radio Academy. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.